Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Now we know. It wasn't so clear a week ago, but we know now. A new power, a cultural shift is rising. Whatever it is that is happening, and we might disagree on what that thing is, it is not in retreat, as many believe, but rather it is growing, and now has more real power than it has had in generations. Now we know. It isn't new, by the way. It is not a thing that is created so much as mind, drawn from beneath the facades of our false selves, a shadow reality that I think we knew was there all along. Now we know, or hopefully we are starting to figure out, that whatever it is, it will not be defeated by policy or party. It will not be shamed or memed out of existence. So you can put away your social media today. Except for mine. You can follow my stuff all the time. Thanks. Unless we figure out what is really going on, it is here to stay. Now we know. And a few days after the election, we know even more. Now, I honor that we are not going to be in the same place on any election, though I know that we within the community of the congregation of Trinity are generally in a similar place, if feedback tells me anything, but we are a cathedral for a whole diocese. We are in the midst of a city, and we recognize that people are not going to see things the same way. But there are some things that we need to look at and name. For example, let's take that the frequent use of that phrase, elections have consequences, which of course they do, but we have heard that a number of times. It gives me pause. Of course, they do have consequences, but given the rhetoric of intimidation and exclusion, I cannot help but ask, what consequences are we talking about exactly? Do those consequences overrule our mandate to love our neighbor as ourselves? Do those consequences mean that it is acceptable to remold our culture in the image of misogyny and meanness, of casual racism or systematic inequality? Ooh, but wait. Okay, actually, there is no growing majority here. Fewer people voted red this year than they did 4 years ago. But fewer people voted blue. Far fewer voted for blue. And so here we are. But what we know now that I don't think we fully realized a week ago is this. White supremacy is getting easy again. I am not saying that everyone who voted one way is a racist and everybody who voted the other way is a saint. I'm pretty sure that is not true. But we do have to name the reality that Christian nationalism and white supremacy are resilient players in our national story. And I'll tell you why in a moment. And it isn't, we need to name that, not just so that we can rally behind particular candidates. I'll get to it in a second. It is something that transcends party and calls us all to soul work and confession. So if I may ask for just a bit of personal privilege, let me get a few more hot takes off of my chest. Unprocessed thoughts. And I'm going to string them together. Hot take number one, systemic racism is real. And it's just so easy to exploit for political gain. No, not everyone we disagree with is racist, nor are we free from our own racism. But pitting frustrated whites against black people, scapegoating the latter, is a trick as old as the plantation economy, and it is a play that still works. Hot take number two. Isolation and alienation are an epidemic. A downstream reality of a post-industrial cultural economy, and we must figure this out. Folk are hurting. Folk don't even have a vocabulary for how lonely they are. And if you give someone who is hurting medicine in the form of a quick fix, that feeling of not empowerment but power brings relief, immediate relief, and it makes someone feel human again. And that, we know, translates into votes. Hot take number three. Contempt and condescension are poison to the beloved community. Nobody responds well to scolding or shaming. And if our posts or our yard signs suggest that someone is dumb if they don't see it our way, it is probably not going to work the way that we think it will. Christians, it is time to wake up to the growing nationalism that is being proclaimed in our name. But at the same time, there tends to be more nuance at the issue level, and if we paper over that and try to turn everything into a blunt instrument, then we have little hope of establishing that city which has justice for its foundation and love for its law. Okay, hot takes are over, and now it's time to see if we can't pull all of this into something a little bit more coherent. We now know that white supremacy is the real adversary, perhaps even the enemy. Not Republicans, not Democrats, perhaps not a particular politician so much as white supremacy itself. I say that because I now see that white supremacy is a power unto itself that seems to know how to use everything. I am talking about the foibles and seductions of both political machines that seems to know how to use our smugness and our self-satisfaction to somehow become more dominant and more dangerous. What does it mean when no matter what you do, no matter what we do, it seems to grow? That's when we realize that there is something far deeper that we need to be looking at. Supremacy is getting easier. And I fear policies that will only amplify that. But I say that, once again, not to give one simple explanation that blames somebody else for something that I am complicit in, but rather to lift up the truth that is now very clear to me, that the cost that we will bear for challenging or disrupting it is only going to grow. It is about to become more costly to stand up to white supremacy. Perhaps that is exactly how it should be. Let's talk about cost and equity and widows and nasty old scribes. Beware of the scribes, Jesus says, those corrupt ministers who love their proximity to power and they use it to cash in. It is not lost on me that I stood there reading about people in long flowing robes, how you should beware them while dressed like this. I felt just a little bit triggered. I hope we can see some perspective on that, but the scribe is corrupt. It is the religious establishment that has corrupted itself in order to stay cozy, in order to stay close to power. Well, the widow is not just a babushka without a husband. She is the icon of cultural disempowerment. Because think about this, not only does she have nothing, she is nothing by virtue of the fact that she does not have a husband. She has lost her connection to a real identity within this system, and that is a choice. Maybe not one person's intentional choice, but a choice that over generations and generations, a particular culture said, this is what we're going to do with this class of people, and we are okay with that. That's just the way things are, right? She completely upends that. She transcends it by giving everything she has to other people. At the same time as those scribes and those wealthy folks are over there, you know, comparing their plumage, she completely upends that. But as she does it, yes, there's a wonderful lesson there about giving our all. But we also have to ask why. Why does this widow have so little? Why are two copper coins all she has to live on? Why do we permit this, that an entire class of people live without protection or enough means to get by? In the eyes of that culture, she has nothing. But if we are serious about establishing a city where justice is the foundation and love is the law, it is the widows who will lead the way. Widows, all throughout Scripture this morning, they are the heroes. Ruth and Naomi are both women who lose their husbands and they find themselves exiled from their respective homelands. And they are faced with an unjust and volatile world, they choose fidelity. They stay faithful to one another, regardless of the cost. Excuse me. They stay faithful to one another despite the cost. Each sacrifices for the well-being of the other, casting aside nation and convention and stability. Ruth and Naomi accept the cost that comes with living with integrity. They refuse to pass that cost along to someone else. And by doing that, they become vessels for a new nation, for a new culture, for a new covenant entirely. They take the scraps of their lives that have fallen to the floor, the fabric that has gotten torn, leaving these frayed ends, and and they pick them up and they weave together a new family. One based not on tribe, but on love. One that in years to come will be the family of David and the family of Jesus. Ruth doesn't count the cost. I will not abandon you, she says to Naomi. Where you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. I will not abandon you. And this kind of love comes with a cost. The healing and dismantling and rebuilding will be hard, and it's going to take longer than we'd hoped. It will be costly. But those who are willing, those courageous, those loving enough to bear those costs will become the new heroines of this story. Our call today is to raise up a new vision of greatness, one led not by political machines who, let's just be honest, were built for something else, and they are not up to this quest, but rather by widows whose power is not in coin, but in fidelity and love. The work ahead, the work of love and laying the new foundations of justice, calls us to finally deal with the obvious, to dismantle white supremacy. And if we aren't facing a cost when we're doing that, then we are probably not doing the work. But the gift, the goal, is a city where all of God's children are valued and safe and know at the very core of their being the story of their own belovedness. I always turn in moments where it feels like the world has just been turned upside down and I'm being shaken out of it. I always turn to Psalm 46, which reminds us, God is in the midst of this city. She shall not be overthrown. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And as we follow that promise through the waters that rage and foam, and through the stories of the nations that are in an uproar, we come to the one final faithful reminder of God's presence right there in the midst of all of it. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still.